Voice of India. Mind Media, the voice of India.
Mind Media, the voice of India. ఇది భారతీయ స్వరం.
Disclaimer: all the opinions, views in the following program, either expressed or implied, are solely of the host and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Mind Media. All the material presented by the host is warranted by the host that the work is their original contribution or they have obtained the proper permissions from the original contributors, and it is free from any copyright infringements. At certain times, the host may express their views, which may be slightly or extremely biased, and hence listeners discretion is advised.
ఇప్పుడు మీకోసం నగేష్ పంచాగ్నులా గారి మన దేశం మన రాజ్యం కార్యక్రమం February 23, 2018 నాటి ఎపిసోడ్ పునఃప్రసారం.
వెల్కమ్ బ్యాక్ టు మన దేశం మన రాజ్యం. ఈరోజు February 23, 2018 ఈ కార్యక్రమం భారత కాలమానం ప్రకారం రాత్రి 9:30 లైవ్ లో ప్రసారం చేయబడుతోంది. ఈ కార్యక్రమంలో పాల్గొనదలుచుకున్న శ్రోతలు స్కైప్ అకౌంట్లో మైండ్ మీడియా ద్వారా కనెక్ట్ కావచ్చు. ఈ కార్యక్రమం యొక్క ఆర్కైవ్స్ ఆడియో భూమిలో కానీ మైండ్ మీడియా వెబ్సైట్లో కానీ పోస్ట్ చేయబడతాయి. ఇవి రీటెలికాస్ట్ కూడా రీబ్రాడ్కాస్ట్ చేయబడతాయి. ఇక ఏ సమయంలోనైనా February 23, 2018 భారత కాలమానం కాకుండా మరే సమయంలోనైనా మీరు వింటున్నట్టయితే ఇట్ ఈస్ అన్ ఆర్కైవ్డ్ రికార్డింగ్ ప్రోగ్రామ్. ఇవాళ ప్రోగ్రామ్ ద ప్రైమ్ ఇష్యూ వీఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు డీల్ విత్, ఐ డోంట్ వాంట్ టు సీ దట్ యాజ్ ఎ కంట్రవర్షియల్ ఇష్యూ, బట్ అట్ ద సేమ్ టైమ్ ఇట్ మే అఫెండ్ ద బిలీఫ్ ఆఫ్ సమ్ పీపుల్, ఎస్పెషలీ the content we are going to discuss. As a host, I try to be very neutral and stay away from the epicenter of the article we want to discuss, but at the same time, with the freedom of press and liberty of expression we have, I would also extend my personal views on the concept. So today's debate, it definitely is going to be a question that has been in news for the past couple of days. The comments that were made by the RSS chief, the Supremo, that Swayamsevaks can be ready within 3 days if the government requires. Reason what may everyone has understood in a different way. But the happiest part of it is 90% of the Indians were not bothered of such comments one way or the other. That is the happiest part. Only 10% of people with extreme views, pro and against RSS, have made it an issue, but 90% of the common public had no opinion. It really did not bother them. They have just taken it as another news item. But however, it is raising few concerns which I feel as a nationalist, I would like to express my thought and if possible, I wanted people to see through the eyes of a nationalist that such comments are really worth making in public or not, and at the same time, what is that we are going to achieve or what kind of message we are going to pass in already a country with multiple schools of practice, multiple conflicts, and having our own can of worms for the past 70 years of independence, we could not fix ourselves on several fronts. Should these kind of comments be made by people, especially with the stature of Sri Mohanji Bhagwat and the kind of followers the Sangh has, should we really give a scope to be understood otherwise by especially a particular segment of people is one big question today. The second question we are going to have today is, though the explanation given by Sangh on the subsequent days of this incident, the post correction or post incident, post-mortem efforts, the way they have given their explanation, is that how everyone understood that question? Or is that way everyone understood? Or only selected people have understood that way? And the third question we are going to have is, rather I am going to have, personally, with the journalistic right, journalistic privileges, if RSS is really interested to conduct and lead the political situation in India, what stops it? Why should it come with another mass, another facial, and present itself in politics and trying to give an opportunity for people to criticize is another question I have. I try to find some answers. I would definitely would like to share them with you. But at the same time, as I told you, here we are not trying to decide who is right, who is wrong. From the nationalist perspective, we are going to definitely see such comments from such a revered, learned man. Will they pass a right message to the public or a wrong message is definitely of my concern. But as I told you, the happiest news is more than 90% of the people were not bothered. Neither they gave any weight to that, nor they discarded that. They just left as if nothing happened. Now let's see. I don't want to play what he has said, though it's only a 29-second segment. Needless to play that again, again, again. But in a nutshell, what he told initially and what is understood by most of the people is what I am going to tell, and what RSS has given an explanation part of it and how they wanted people to see that statement, I will also present that. Initially, Mohanji Bhagwat said, I think in one of the programs in Bihar, I believe, Rizapur or Mizapur, the kind of discipline we have in RSS, the Swayamsevaks, if Indian military wants to prepare an army, it takes 6 months to 7 months for them. But if constitution permits and the government wants, స్వయం సేవక్స్ క్యాన్ బి రెడీ ఇన్ 3 డేస్. దెన్ వాట్ ఈస్ థాట్ బై మోస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద పబ్లిక్ ఇస్ ఆర్ఎస్ఎస్ స్వయం సేవక్స్ ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు బి ఆన్ ద ఫ్రంట్ లైన్ టు అటాక్ పాకిస్తాన్ ఆర్ టు డిఫెండ్ ఇండియా ఫ్రమ్ చైనా. ఆర్ దే గోయింగ్ టు బి taking up with arms and defend the country, or the Mohanji Bhagwat is demining the capabilities of Indian army and saying that Swayam Sevaks will make a superior army? This is the question that has come to the mind of few people who started making an issue. Immediately after that, within no time, there was an explanation given by the RSS representatives that they did not undermine the capabilities of army. What Mohanji Bhagwat as mentioned in the meeting, what he intended was the Swayam Sevaks have absolute discipline, which is the primary component for military operations, and normally it is a long process to build an army, and it will be 6 to 8 months before the army is built, army is made. But if you select Swayam Sevaks, that 6 to 8 months efforts can be cut short and we can make an army ready within 3 days. I don't know whether he meant 3 days as exaggeration, or maybe he wanted to say, as an Indian citizen, as a civilian, we are so much equipped and we are so much ready if the motherland wants our services. So he claims, or RSS claims, it is misunderstood by the so-called their opponents. Some colonels from army have been involved in press conferences, press debates. They just laughed at it and then they have ignored. Several people have ignored the same thing. But the main question I have even now is this. Should the monopoly of the army be diluted? Should the monopoly of army defending the country be diluted? Yes, of course. If it is required, every civilian must become a soldier to defend the motherland. But definitely not in the front line. Maybe setting up camps for army. Maybe helping army from supplies. Maybe helping army by their morale, boosting their morale, or by any other form. Maybe physicians, maybe engineers can go and construct the roads and bridges. There are a lot of other services where a civilian can help. If Mohanji Bhagwat meant that, it's absolutely fine. It is the duty of every Indian citizen. But if Mohanji Bhagwat mentioned that within 3 days' notice, my people can be ready and be up in arms and take over the front line and defend the country, I am definitely concerned. I am not concerned here because whether RSS or Swayam Sevaks are capable of defending the country or not. I am concerned a professional job of a military, if it is diluted by the involvement of civilians, especially if Swayamsevaks are allowed, it is none other than a private army. Such a private army, if it is good, that's fine. So which private army is good? There are a lot of other private armies with which we have been suffering for past 70 years in India, for which even RSS folks are against. Salvajudum, Maoistic groups, Khalistan movement, Ulfas, Bodoland issue, such private armies are all causing, fighting for their own cause in India with arms in their hand. Now you may say their cause is anti-national, but you are national. The others will say, we are national, you are anti-national. A private army is a private army. Doesn't matter who it is. Who should judge who is right, who is national, who is anti-national? So if such monopoly of army is diluted, I definitely have a concern. If RSS has made a statement with such an intention that it is capable of handling front line, I am concerned. RSS has done a lot of services. RSS has involved and made its presence rather first teams to come in several natural calamities in India and across the world in several locations. In several locations, they were the first people to be present and serve. There were other associations like Ramakrishna Mission, Anand Marg. India has got a lot of social groups. And most of them, some of them are religious groups also. But claiming to be militarily capable is my question. That raises another question to me. Recently, I believe I have seen in some news, the chief of RSS has been given Z category security. If Swayamsevaks are so capable to defend the front line of the country, why should the chief of RSS take Z category security? Now, I have few other concerns also coming out of this. Tomorrow, PFI starts saying that I am militarily capable, I will also defend the country. There are a lot of other private groups who are already dealing with arms and are causing a lot of issues in India, security breaches, security issues. And we have seen a lot of incidents, especially in Bombay, when the local Maratha fanaticism goes to a certain extent. There were issues where people from Uttar Pradesh must be kicked out from Bombay. We have seen those troubles also. We have seen riots in Bombay. With all such things, if private people get ready with arms, will there be a chaos? Do such monopoly of the army be diluted? If RSS wants to defend the country, how many of you endorse on that is my question today. Further, with this intention, I wanted to see, do RSS shakhas are really capable of training armed military men? Or are they really capable of building soldiers to defend the country? Or will it be another operation like civilians were paradropped in France in the past, where they were butchered by the enemy people, enemy soldiers? With that intention, I had been to see the website of RSS, where I have found something really interesting. As I told you, we are not trying to criticize here, we are only trying to see, should private army be allowed to work with frontline operations in India, even if constitution permits? What is going to be the fate of the country? And where to draw line? If private people must be allowed, should RSS be allowed, PFI be allowed, Mujahideen be allowed, Salwa Judum be allowed? Who should be allowed? Maoist groups, People's War be allowed, Khalistan be allowed? Who should be allowed? What is the procedure? Is first question. And second question is, assuming that BJP is the front face of RSS and RSS is trying to control BJP and then control the government in India, assuming that, we don't know whether it is true or not, what is the ideology of RSS? And are they really having enough capabilities of making soldiers who are fit to defend the country through frontline? Their capabilities in social service and cultural activity are unquestioned and unparalleled. No doubt about it. In fact, there is a common saying that if you give 1 rupee to RSS for spending on some project, 100 naya paisa will be spent only on that project, not even 99 paisa. 100 paisa will be spent on that project. There is no proliferation. Such a credit RSS has in India. A corruption-free atmosphere is there in India, only in RSS. But do they really have such military capabilities is my question. And what kind of background and ideology that comes with? Then I have seen 3 major conflicts here. I want to share them with you. 3 major conflicts I have found. First and foremost thing, who can become a member of RSS? It says any Hindu male can become a member of RSS. Then the immediate next question in FAQ says, why does RSS always talk only about Hindus? Is it a religious organization? The answer says, we do not use the word Hindu in the context of worshipping a deity or a religion. Hindus are a way of life. And we believe everyone is a Hindu who respects India, who stays in India. Just because you change your religion, you don't change your forefathers. So hence, every person who respects India, who lives in India is a Hindu. So even a Christian, Muslim, they can also come under that umbrella and become members of RSS. Very good. Well-defined concept, no doubt about it. But very unfortunately, in India, RSS, when you compare any other organizations, especially the militia organizations who get trained with arms and who have different agenda, their agenda is to fight against the government and dethrone the government or basically create trouble in the government. Let it be Mujahideen, let it be JKLF, let it be Ulfa, let it be Bodoland, let it be Salvajadum, let it be People's War, let it be PFI, any organization you name, all those so-called troublemakers, their agenda is primarily to work against the government, whoever may be the government. But very unfortunately, RSS is picturized to work against a community in India. Unfortunately, in the 70 years, that's what is happening. And they are unable to get that taint removed on them. In spite of several Muslims being in RSS, several Christians being members in RSS, unfortunately, RSS in India could not get that stamp removed from them that they are anti-Muslim organization. Lot of Muslims today in India, and unfortunately India has maximum number of Muslims in the world, they believe RSS is anti-Muslim organization. In the last 70 years, the nationalistic agenda of RSS could not involve that universal brotherhood as Muslim community also, for some reason. This they have to address first before defending the front line of the country. Very unfortunately. And second thing, they always picturize themselves as protectors of Hindu nation, and they always talk about Akhand Bharat. The Akhand Bharat, mentally possible by making universal brotherhood and involving everyone, claiming that even till Kandahar, Afghanistan, everything, once upon a time it was India. Well, it was in India once upon a time, no doubt about it. Can it be made possible today that Afghanistan, Turkmenistan, Tashkent, Altar of Taxil, Nepal, Bhutan, Bangladesh, Rangoon, Burma, Malaysia, Cambodia, Pakistan, forget about all these things. Can you even think about India and Pakistan being together, first of all? Forget about Afghanistan, Kandahar and other stuff. So, their allegiance is still towards the saffron than the tricolor. When I keep going through the archives, it says clearly one place, how many and how to become a member of RSS was one question. It says clearly, there is no procedure of membership to become a member. There is no formal membership procedure to become a member of RSS. Anyone can join the nearest shakha, which is the basic unit and activity of RSS. There is no fee, no registration process. Once he starts attending shakha, he is considered a member. Wide open, excellent, no doubt about it. Now, what is Shaka? A daily gathering of all Swayamsevaks in a predefined area at a common meeting place for 1 hour is called Shaka. And what is the daily program in Shaka? The daily program of Shaka consists of physical exercise, patriotic song, group discussion on various subjects, reading of good literature, and a prayer to the motherland. Excellent. 1 hour of physical exercise, if it is making its Swayamsevaks to be capable soldiers, to be ready to defend the motherland in 3 days, why is it army taking 6 to 7 months to make soldiers ready to the front line is another question to be thought of. Now, that raises another question to me. There is no membership. Then the question comes, is there any constitution, any procedures, any way of lifestyle by the members? That has taken me to a different location on their website, which is again very interesting topic here. The website claims the RSS has started in 1925. Then, in 1942, I think Muslim League declared 1949, on July 12th, it says government lifted ban unconditionally. During the period of Gandhiji's assassination, there was a claim that RSS was involved, and that's a different discussion. I don't want to go into those details. First of all, I don't have much data on that to participate in the debate also. But I am concerned about only two things. Government lifted the ban unconditionally on July 12th. Why this adjective unconditionally? Did anyone question you? Shri Guruji was released from jail on July 13th. A rousing welcome was given to him by so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. Fine. That brings another document in front of me. This is a government note. Government of India's decision, ban on the RSS lifted. New Delhi, July 12th. The government of India have lifted the ban on RSS, Rashtriya Swayamsevak Sangh. It is officially ended here. Mr. Y.R. Venkatramana Shastri, the liberal leader, and Mr. Kaparthi, vice president of Hindu Mahasabha, met Mr. Golwalkar in Sioni jail on February 13, 1949. Mr. Shastri then brought a draft constitution to Sardar Patel in March of 1949, in the preparation which it is said that Mr. Shastri also helped. Copies of RSS constitution were sent to the government of India in April 1949. The government made it clear that their conditions for lifting the ban were, is the question here. When the government order clearly says the conditions for lifting the ban were listed 1, 2, 3, 4, how did RSS official website say the government lifted the ban unconditionally on July 12th? It's a major question. And the organization formed in 1925 did not have a written document, written bylaw, written constitution for 20 years till Sardar Patel questioned it. I think in the capacity of his powers in the government. What is this confusion? Why unconditionally on July 12th RSS says that the ban is lifted, whereas the government order says the government of India made it clear that their conditions for lifting the ban were that RSS should end the violence, work openly with a written constitution, give up politics, respect the national flag, and accept India as a secular state. These were the 5 conditions that were imposed when lifting the ban. demand RSS to abandon politics. Provisions of the draft constitution, Bombay, May 24th. These are all available on public archives, Hindu newspaper clippings. No politics on its own, and it will be wedded purely to cultural work. The Swayam Sevaks will, however, be, I don't know, I can't read this word, but, however, belong to any political party. The RSS were declared illegal shortly after the assassination of Mahatma Gandhi 16 months ago. The Madras liberal leader T.R. Venkatramana Shastri, who has been making efforts in recent months to persuade the government of India to withdraw the ban on the organization, drafted the constitution after an interview with the head of RSS, Mr. M.S. Golwalkar, in jail in March, and later submitted to India's Home Minister, Sardar Vallabhbhai Patel. And objective of the RSS is the creation of a real brotherhood. The activities of son, Mr. Golwalkar, said, had been purely cultural and would continue to be so. Membership of Sangh was open to persons of any school of political thought. Only, he added, we do not want any of them to bring politics into our Sangh. Was Godse the member of RSS? He says he was, but he left and he have even opposed Sangh. But whatever it is, to a Hindu, the state is always secular. Okay. The few conditions that were imposed were basically they should have a written constitution. Second thing is they should recognize India as a secular state. They cannot claim a Hindu-dominated or Hindu state. And they should have their allegiance to national flag. I believe even today, most of the RSS programs will have a saffron flag than a national flag. I absolutely have no problem what flag they fly. As long as they don't insult the national flag, any organization, even a Maoist, can fly their red color Mao flag, but they cannot insult national flag. So as long as that condition is maintained, you can have any organizational flag you want. Congress party has Congress flag. Telugu Desam has Telugu Desam flag. Likewise. But this statement is very confusing, that government lifted ban unconditionally on July 12th. The major question. Whereas there were a lot of conditions that were imposed. And that 1 hour of a physical exercise in Shaka, if it can make people ready to face the war. Of course, there are some credentials which are given by RSS in 1954, Swayam Sevaks liberated Dadar, Nagar Haveli, and then there were some places where they aided the government. Absolutely, no one questions them. Any place, any civilian who wants to support the government, who wants to support the military, is always welcome. But taking the responsibility to defend raises a flag. But anyway, in my opinion, RSS claim of saying that I have given a good raw material, Swayam Sevak can become a good raw material to make a right soldier to India, if that is the content and essence of the statement, it is very well accepted. Rather, every school of thought must generate such raw material to be handed over to the country so that a right soldier can be made out of that. But if they claim that they are ready to take over and defend, it's a very dangerous statement. And I don't expect from such a revered people and such a solid organization, such statement can come. They have a good network. They have, I believe, though RSS says in one of that basic FAQs, it says how many members and how many RSS shakas are there. I think RSS does not keep formal membership register of Swayam Sevak. The exact number of Swayam Sevak is difficult to count. That's again questionable. If anything good happens, it is done by Swayam Sevak. If anything bad happens, I don't know, he's not my member. So probably as they already have a constitution, as it says, probably it's time they should also start giving badges to the members and some identification, some hierarchy. Of course, if they want to be military capability and they want to defend the front line, there better be a hierarchy, there better be a commander-in-chief, there better be lance knights, there better be majors, there better be colonels, and they should be, that discipline should be followed. If they don't have a membership register, then it is very impossible to defend the front line. So if they have made a statement that their Swayam Sevaks can become a better raw material to become soldiers, we all appreciate. We receive. But if they claim they are ready to take over and defend the country, I'm sorry, that will be nothing but arrogance. And I don't think an organization with such a long standing and such good credentials of supporting in civil relief efforts can make such a statement and should not make such a statement. Even if BJP makes 470 seats next time in parliament, even then RSS should not make such a statement if it is making such a statement of defending the front line. But if it is saying that their Swayam Sevaks can become a better raw material and army can be built faster because they hold discipline, it is very well appreciated. But on contrary, if they say they are ready to take over, they are ready with arms, they have the training of arms, it's going to be a suicidal mission. Anyhow, we take a short break for 2 minutes, join back in Manadesam Manarajam with furthermore views on some more hot topics in the nation. Stay tuned.
Mind Media Twitter. తోకలేని పిట్ట 90 యామడల వెళ్తుంది, కానీ ఈ నీలం పిట్ట ట్విట్టర్ ప్రపంచాన్నే చుట్టి వస్తుంది. ఒక సెన్సేషన్ క్రియేట్ చేయాలన్నా, ట్రెండింగ్ టాపిక్ అవ్వాలన్నా ట్విట్టర్ ని మించిన సాధనం ఏముంది? మైండ్ మీడియా టాక్ షోస్ కూడా ట్రెండీగా అందరినీ అలరిస్తున్నాయి. మరి వాటిని మిస్ అయితే అన్న బాధే అక్కర్లేదు, ఎందుకంటే ఇప్పుడు మైండ్ మీడియా ఇస్ ఆన్ ట్విట్టర్. మీకు మరింత సమాచారం అందించే అవకాశం మాకివ్వండి. ఫాలోస్ ఆన్ twitter.com/mindmedia. సబ్స్క్రైబ్ టు మైండ్ మీడియా, ది వాయిస్ ఆఫ్ ఇండియా. ఇది భారతీయ స్వరం.
నమస్కారం, నేను మీ కారుణ్య. మీరు వింటున్నారు మైండ్ మీడియా, ది వాయిస్ ఆఫ్ ఇండియా. ఇది భారతీయ స్వరం.
అభిజిత్ పిఎస్ నాయర్ గారి వయలిన్ వాద్య సంగీతం 1 మినిట్ మ్యూజిక్ బైట్.
వాయిస్ ఆఫ్ ఇండియా, ఇది భారతీయ స్వరం. ప్రతి గురువారం రాత్రి 7 గంటలు న్యూయార్క్ సమయానికి మైండ్ మీడియా సమర్పించు ది టెకీ టాక్. ప్రతి గురువారం టెక్నాలజీ వార్తా విశేషాలు, మొబైల్ అప్లికేషన్స్ గురించి, గేమింగ్, ఆటోమొబైల్స్ మరియు కెమెరా, వీటన్నిటిపైన ప్రతి వారం మీతో పంచుకోవడానికి వస్తున్నారు బీపీ భానుప్రకాష్ ఫ్రం వాషింగ్టన్ డీసీ, కేపి కనకప్రసాద్ ఫ్రం ఆల్బనీ న్యూయార్క్, and VB Venkatabhamidipati from Washington DC. Stay tuned. ఆల్ ద టైమ్ టు మైండ్ మీడియా. అండ్ గురువారం నాడు మాత్రం మర్చిపోకండి టెక్కీ టాక్.
Hi everyone, this is your playback singer Bhagavi Pillai and you're listening to Mind Media, the voice of India. Idi Bhartiya Swaram.
మైండ్ మీడియా ది వాయిస్ ఆఫ్ ఇండియా. ఇది భారతీయ స్వరం. ప్రతి గురువారం రాత్రి 7 గంటలు న్యూయార్క్ సమయానికి మైండ్ మీడియా సమర్పించు ది టెకీ టాక్. ప్రతి గురువారం టెక్నాలజీ వార్తా విశేషాలు, మొబైల్ అప్లికేషన్స్ గురించి, గేమింగ్, ఆటోమొబైల్స్ మరియు కెమెరా వీటన్నిటిపైన ప్రతి వారం మీతో పంచుకోవడానికి వస్తున్నారు బీపీ భానుప్రకాష్ ఫ్రం వాషింగ్టన్ డిసి, కేపి కనకప్రసాద్ ఫ్రం ఆల్బనీ న్యూయార్క్ and VB Venkat Bhamid Pati from Washington DC. Stay tuned all the time to Mind Media and Guruvaram Nadu Matram Marchipokandi Techie Talk.
1 minute music bite from band Indo Soul by Kartik Iyer.
Welcome back to Manadesham Manarajyam. Thanks for tuning in. After the break, now we step into the issues of national importance, though they are locally important. That is the BJP and TDP relationship in Andhra Pradesh. Personally, it all appears to me that what is happening in the state is well articulated drama. I don't know whether both these parties, TDP and BJP, are thinking Telugu voter a fool, maybe. 4 years they kept quiet and they started claiming and they started expressing the credentials of Chandrababu and they started threatening each other. And today, one of the statements made by Buddha Venkanna that they are saying it is at the mercy of TDP BJP got into power. There is no bigger logical joke than that. Just receive one comment from one of the listener. I looked at the statement of Mohanji Bhagwat as an expression of love towards the nation and willingness to make highest sacrifice for the country. Yes, it is very well accepted, as I told you. The willingness to go to the highest sacrifice is accepted, but that's not what is required today. We don't require people who are willing to sacrifice their life. We require people who are willing to kill the other person and make his life sacrifice to his country so that we win. That's what is required in war. our willingness to any level should not become our overconfidence. A civilian can never be in a front line unless properly equipped and properly trained. But anyhow, come back to the AP stuff. So they are saying it is because of TDP BJP got into power, but the result is something else, whether it is 97, 98, 99 or 2014, it is because of alliance with BJP in Andhra Pradesh TDP got into power. The time when they were not together, they were always in opposition. But very unfortunately, one statement Buddha Venkanna made today is very much hurting. You fight with BJP, you fight for Andhra Pradesh, you fight for special status for Andhra Pradesh, you resign, you comment, you criticize, everything is accepted. But today, he started inviting minority folks. That is of major concern to me. Now, who is communal? Now, you want to attract Muslim voters so that they can be provoked against BJP? Or you want to back that 6-7% of votes you have gained because of BJP alliance? You want to fulfill that gap with minority voters? Do you think minorities are a trump card, joker card? You can plug them in any sequence you want. Till yesterday, 4 years, you did not know that Modi was not giving anything to state. Or you both have an understanding? All 4 years you enjoy the fruits of the government, and now today you say that nothing is given. And you always construct Tatkalika Nirmanalu. Why Tatkalika Nirmanalu when you are already craving for funds? Why do you need Tatkalika Nirmanalu? And you think people are fools? I am sure this time they are going to teach a very good lesson for TDP in Andhra Pradesh. Do you think people don't understand what is happening? It is not Jagan is right or Congress is right or TDP is right or Communist is right or BJP is right. But definitely one thing is for sure, you are wrong. You are wrong for the only two things that you have made, that 4 years you have kept yourself idle and enjoyed the fruits of the government and have done nothing to the state. Who asked you to take the responsibility of Polavaram when it is a national project? And the second thing that you have made a biggest crime today is inviting Muslim minorities. Is that the way of your expression that you are walking away from BJP? Is that how you say that I want to get out? So Muslims, you come close to us. Till yesterday you wanted to go with BJP hand in hand because you wanted to be a part of governance. And so these are the things which are concerned. The way people are working out, the way people are setting their scores, you just wait for another 11 months. Voter will start setting his scores. Do not divide the communities. If you want to be secular, be secular. Don't appease. Do not divide people by caste, by community. Do not play the game of politics with public. Otherwise, you know, public, how powerful they are. 125-year-old Congress, they washed it out lock, stock and barrel in Andhra Pradesh. Not a single MLA is in the assembly. If people realize that you are making them fools, tomorrow same thing is going to happen to you. Same thing is going to happen to you. So the question of special status, yes, till yesterday, last 4 years, you started saying special Swahoda Sanjeevani Kadu. While Elagu Ivar Gavati, Mevu special state Adutunam. Ivala Tapanta Vokalamidi Tosesi, you claim yourself that you are clean. You had opportunity to stay in Hyderabad for 10 years. You went away lock, stock and barrel, you packed up and then went back to Andhra Pradesh with the temporary buildings. Don't you have to answer that question tomorrow? When you had right to stay for 10 years in Hyderabad to have a joint capital, why did you run away? Why do you have to go with temporary constructions? And temporary constructions also crores of rupees. And of course, recent news is political IAS officers being involved in some of the scams. This is happening common. For the past 15 years, that's the fate of our governments. But anyhow, with more news and views, we'll join back on Monday again. That is on 26th of February 2018. Manadesam, Manarajam. Stay tuned. Thank you very much. I'm your host, Nagesh Panchakula. Signing off for the day.
ఇప్పటి వరకు మీరు విన్నారు నగేష్ పంచాగ్నులా గారి మన దేశం మన రాజ్యం కార్యక్రమం February 23, 2018 నాటి ఎపిసోడ్ పునఃప్రసారం.
The voice of India. Mind Media, the voice of India.
Mind Media, the voice of India. Idi Bharatiya Swaram.